Today, Rene Bernard explores Psalm 8 with us. And now, here's Rene.
Okay. Jim did an excellent introduction last week. Thanks for that, Jim. Kind of gave me a bit of a something to follow into. I'll be speaking from New King James Version and some of the commentaries from the McDonald Bible Commentary. Funny thing is how this psalm came about. I was going to pick another one, but this one kept coming up and kept coming up. And then finally, Karen played that in the truck on the way here one time, and okay, it's got to be Psalm 8. That's what I'm being told. So, but I picked another one, but here's Psalm 8. And it falls in the Messianic Psalms. So Psalm 2, 8, 16, 22, 23, 24, 40, 41, 45, 68, 69, 72, 89, 102, 110, and 118. They're generally considered messianic. These psalms, either in whole or in part, speak of the Messiah. There are many other psalms that also refer to Christ. There's also much instruction for us in our walk with the Lord. So with that said, let's pray. Father, we come before you with gratitude for all that you've done for us, for your amazing grace. Help this message come through as you intended. In Jesus' name, amen. So first I'll read it through. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Romans 1:19-20, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So the majesty of the Lord is evident in all creation. We look around, it's just beauty, like this gorgeous summer that we've got and we got blessed with. Awesome. I'm enjoying it. If we only have eyes to see it, every area of natural science shows evidence of the wisdom and power of the Creator. God's glory is higher than the heavens. The planets, the stars, the universe are only partial views of how great God is. And again this morning, we sang, How Great Thou Art. Yet some people shrug this off as if God didn't exist or as if none of this matters. But we know. We know that it matters, right? So for verse 2, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So in Matthew 21:15-16, "But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and all the children crying out in the temple, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. And they said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise.'" In 1 Corinthians 1:26-31, "For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, 'He who glories, let him glory in the Lord.'" Children, they trust innocently. They have faith that trusts in God's greatness. It's exactly as Christ himself declared. God has hidden these things from the wise, in understanding has revealed them to babes. So let us be children in our faith and our walk with God. Verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained," and that was also mentioned this morning in the singing. So no branch of science proclaims God's greatness and man's insignificance more eloquently than astronomy. The sheer vastness of our galaxy, where distances are measured in light years. Interesting fact, light travels 186,000 miles per second. Or if we convert that to kilometers, 297,600 kilometers a second. So you can imagine how large the universe is and the God who created it. John 1:1-5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. To gaze into the heavens at night on a cloudless night in wonder and awe at the greatness of God." Have you ever done that? Mosquitoes are horrible. It's one thing that I'm not willing to thank God for, the mosquitoes. So when we see the moon and the stars and the expanse of the universe, bring to mind, O God, how great thou art. Verse 4, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man?" In Job 7:17-18, "What is man that you should exalt, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment?" So if we look at all that God has created, we're just like a speck of dust. But yet, God's interested in each one of us. He has a personal interest, intimate concern for every human being. And the answer is found in a very often quoted verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Sorry, guys, that makes me emotional. So in Job 10:12, "You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit." Well, verse 5, I'm racing right through here. Typical. "For you have made For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." God made man in his own image and after his own likeness. Though lower than God, man shares with him some faculties that are not shared by any other created being on earth. Everything God made on earth was pronounced to be good. But if you read further, but for man, he pronounces very good. So verses 6 to 8, you are made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So as God's representative on earth, we're given dominion over all the animals, birds, insects, reptiles, etc. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that we do not have dominion over the animals. The explanation is that when sin entered the world through Adam, man lost his sovereignty over the rest of creation. Yet God's purposes still stand. He has decreed that man shall have dominion, and nothing can block God's purposes. So while we do not yet see all things subject to men right now, we do see Jesus, the one person by whom man's dominion will be restored. When Christ came to earth, he became temporarily lower than the angels, so that as men, as a man, he could die for the human race. That's us. Now he is crowned with glory and honor as God's right hand. Someday he will return to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the millennium, the dominion that was forfeited by the first Adam will be restored by the last Adam. O Lord, our Lord, verse 9, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And God's people will join to sing with new appreciation. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And that's the message, typically short for me, that the Lord gave me. Thank you all for listening to me ramble on.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. And as Rainey went through the universe, the world, and everything that you've created, that you have knit together with an amazing purpose and an amazing skillfulness and an amazing just love that you poured into every part of your creation, that you were present with and putting together and every step of the way, and that you care so much about your creation, that you sent your son Jesus to die for those that don't deserve it, that a creation that turned their back on you, you said, no problem, I'll send my son. We don't deserve that, but you gave it anyways, and that is grace. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for just your finite wisdom and power and your glory. And we love you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area. Or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.